Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I titled this sermon something that was real simple because most of us know this old song. And I just wanted to start with it this morning. If you know it, sing along with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Remember that old song? That song I have known since probably the foundation of my church experience, which is as long as I can remember. And I just... that song just is so powerful. In fact, I've got it on a wood carving in my office sitting on the wall. And I just every once in a while just sit back and read it. And I couldn't get this out of my mind as I was praying this week about what God would have me to share today. But I think we lack an understanding of the amazing grace of God. I just don't think we can quite comprehend it. We get to a place where we recognize our need of a Savior, but I don't think we always recognize the significance of His amazing grace. I just want to give you a theological definition of grace. It's the free, unmerited favor of God. But I'm going to go on. As manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Did you get that? It's the unmerited favor of God that shows up in salvation and blessing. That is the grace of God. Oftentimes, grace is confused with mercy. Mercy and grace are different. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. Now, did you get those? I'll read it again. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. You can't have mercy for someone unless you had the power or the ability to punish them or harm them. Now, all of us have an opportunity to harm someone in different ways. So you hold a lot of power in your hands, and God talks about mercy being something that He expects of us. You know, a child messes up, and as parents, we extend mercy. Sometimes I'm going, you're extending too much mercy. I watch some parents go, there's a little too much mercy here. If you have missed the parenting class, we're going to do that periodically through the year because parents need help. All of us do. A child messes up and mercy can be extended. Basically, that just means you didn't punish them. You could have, but you didn't. So we've got an understanding of mercy in a really, let me take that as grandparents, I'm getting mercy really in me. Because I watch my kids ministering no mercy to their kids. And it's difficult. Okay, I'm getting back on. I just stepped aside for a second. Okay, just threw that in. I hope y'all heard. Grace. Grace, though, takes it a step further than mercy. It isn't just looking at the inability to accomplish something on your own. It's based on your circumstances. It's just that you didn't do anything to receive the blessing that you got. You didn't do anything to get that. You had favor and you didn't deserve it. Grace. You didn't deserve heaven, but you're going to get it. You and I, neither one, did anything to get heaven in and of ourselves, but we get it anyway. I mean, that's grace. And so that was my only understanding of amazing grace, because I was a messed up person and I needed heaven. And God made a way through his grace for me to get it. All right, so that's grace. Now, mercy. I thank God for his mercy. We don't get what we deserve. And I'm amazed at his grace because we're blessed, and yet really we didn't do anything to deserve the blessing. Do you get the difference here? I don't want to spend a lot of time, just keep going through it, but I will until I see you kind of it click. It's clicking. I want to understand these words so that we get into some truth and clarity of the gospel. I've had this sermon in my mind for a while based on what's going on in our world. What's going on in our world is giving Christians a bad rap because we don't really know how to respond. I mean, we don't know, what are we supposed to do here? How are we supposed to respond to what's going on in our world? It seems daily we as Christians are being ousted. Like we're of no influence on what's going on. And we as Christians are seen now as people who have no compassion. Yeah. So we've got churches coming in and trying to use, well, if you're a real Christian, here's what you should do.
Yeah.
That's manipulation.
The
Bible is real clear on what we are to do. And I want you to know that we have to understand the fullness of Scripture to get clarity on how we're to operate. This year, Christian Ministries Church, how timely, our vision, essential.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. As Christians, we are essential. Yeah. Here at Christian Ministries Church, we need to be seen as essential in a day and a time when society is saying Christians are not because their views are wrong.
Yeah.
And you try to have a biblical approach to what's going on, and we are ousted. Now, as Christians, do we see God as essential? Let me give you the answer to that. Yes. God is essential. Okay, well, if God is essential, then we need to start looking at his qualities. And one of the qualities that I think needs to be ministered and needs to be spoke on and needs to be encouraged with is grace. We all have to have it. We all get it to enter into what God has for us. Because you can't go in without the grace of God. Worship is insignificant without the grace of God, because you can't enter his presence without his grace. It's his grace that allows us to experience him. So we got to talk today about what grace does, what it means, and how it works. Now, mercy is not the same. I can have a little bit of mercy. I have mercy a lot, not just as a grandparent, but some of you all will get this. During your day, you're around someone who deserves to be punched in the face or a baseball bat just swung and struck right upside his head. Don't look at me all self-righteous. Everybody runs into someone who you know deserves that, and you could give it to them. But instead, you gave mercy. You gave mercy. So everybody gets that. I mean, sometimes mercy can be hard to operate in, and you let them have it. But as Christians, we understand operating in mercy. Go to Walmart, you have to have mercy. Because there's only one checkout and there's 100 of them self-checkouts that nobody wants to use. I want someone to do it for me. That's not so much to ask, is it? But you go through this self, and I'm going through Walmart's line going, I don't even want to give them any money anyway, because they're like doing everything I don't like. I'm just frustrated and and now I got to go through and I don't even have anybody to say hi to. There's a camera that sticks right there on the front of that thing. Do you ever see that? It's got your face on it. I always go, because somebody's looking at me. Hi. So at least acknowledge that somebody's, In my lifetime, I just can't believe what I'm watching on a day-to-day basis. I've got to have more mercy today to live than I've ever had in my whole life. So we get mercy. We get that. That's all good. And it's really good if you're God, because, I mean, that's God. He can handle all that. But I'm Ashley. I'm not God, and this is tough here. This is tough. Psalm 116, verse 5. How kind is the Lord? How good is he? So merciful, this God of ours. How kind the Lord is, how good he is. How good he is. He's kind, he's good, and he's merciful. But let's talk about Ashley here. I'm trying to be kind, I'm trying to be good, and I'm trying to be merciful. It's a lot easier to be merciful with my grandkids than it is other kids. Come on, it's just the way life is. There are certain areas that mercy is easy, and other times it's very difficult. In Matthew, and if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. He says that we are to do this. God wants to bless you. An avenue for blessing is obviously only possible through his grace, because we don't deserve it. But there are some conditions that he sets up in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, that is very cool. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they'll be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. And God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Every one of those verses would be a sermon in and of itself, but I'm just going to, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. The point here is we mourn, we humble, we want justice, we're merciful, we're pure in heart, we work for peace. All of this to receive God's blessing. There are things that you can do to get God's blessing. So I want to make sure and be very clear as I'm talking about grace. Sometimes it's unmerited, but there are conditions in life that if you'll get that and do that, you can watch God's blessing come your way. So I don't want to get in this ditch and just say, well, God's just going to give it to you because you don't deserve it, but you're just going to get it. If you'll do this, this, and this, and I get caught up on talking about that a lot. If you'll just do this, this, and this, this is how you can get what God says you can have. And I like that. But sometimes it leaves the grace of God out because we get so practical in our message. I get mercy, not getting what we deserve. But grace is a whole different thing. To give favor to someone who didn't do anything to get it. Come on, that's tough. Yeah. Giving favor to someone undeserving. My kids, when they were younger, and it's my life experiences that I know that speak to me, and you have your own experiences, so hopefully you can relate this into your life. But my kids growing up in a Christian home, a Christian environment, a Christian school, when they would get out of their little bubble and they would see sometimes the way other children their age acted or even talked about their parents or the words that would come out of their mouth, they're out of their bubble and they'd be walking away like those people are going to hell. You can't say that. You can't do that. I mean, they'd be like, it was a difficult thing in our little bubble at times to teach the significance of grace. They don't need any grace. They need to be tied up and they need to be, that's ridiculous. They need a whooping is what they need. I mean, on and on and on, and there wasn't any grace because we understand that it wasn't, the blessing wasn't deserved. And come on, parents, we teach our kids. You want the blessing, you act right. You do the right thing. When we get home, you're going to get to do this. And you give them a, come on. Anybody ever do that with your kids? Come on, if you'll act right now, when we get done, here's what we're going to do. But if you don't, and then they didn't, and you still did. I'm not teaching parenting. But we kind of give favor sometimes to our children because we understand grace for someone who we truly love. I know I said we're not going to do that, but if you'll be better next time, we'll go ahead and do it. We got next week still, but right now we're doing this today. The biblical, I'll let Deanne teach all that. The free and unmerited favor of God is manifested in salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. We understand that without grace, salvation is impossible. Come on. Without grace, salvation is not possible. Without grace, salvation is not possible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, in the New King James Version says, by grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. Through faith, not from yourselves, but not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Not just a gift amongst many. It's the gift of God. Only through grace. For by grace. For by grace. You can't get saved without grace. And so we sing Amazing Grace because we know we get to go to heaven. We're saved by grace. And without it, salvation doesn't come. A new life doesn't come without grace. It is so necessary that all of our life of joy, contentment, peace in the Holy Spirit, joy in the Spirit, the things that we go to church for, none of that's possible without the grace of God. Everybody understand that? Come on, nod your head. This means, yeah, I got it, Pastor. Grace is oftentimes only seen as God being able to give it. Well, that's God, Pastor. I mean, how can that be me giving grace? I can't save anyone. I can't extend grace like that. That's God's deal. You see, grace is often a word we throw out because we struggle to define it. I've done my best in the human language or the English language to explain grace. I'm not very good at it. I get that. We celebrate, we praise it, we sing about it, and we misunderstand it, especially when it comes to us administering grace. To a spouse. Come on, there are times that we need to be ministering grace to our spouse, but yet we just assume them never look or speak to us again. That's the thought we're fighting. Here's why. What we think that we're doing when we give grace is we think we're giving a free pass. To just do it again. Free passes usually relate to things that are not spiritual. But here's what I want you to see this morning. Grace is only spiritual. And we look at it as I'm giving them a free pass to talk to me however they want if I give them grace. You've got a misunderstanding of grace. You're giving them a free pass. I'm not saying that we give someone a free pass. But I am saying we give grace, and we've got to understand the difference. We equate someone letting them see our messy house as them giving us grace. I ask my wife all the time, would you just give me some grace? I know I missed the hamper. But how hard is it to just pick it up and put it in there? That's what you tell me all the time. Pray for me, please. Babe, give me some grace. When giving grace is actually applied to spiritual matters, I think we tend to lean toward believing we should never press, we never hold a line of truth or call someone away from a cliff of self-destruction, so we just always give grace, or we don't give it at all. And we're just on these two different extremes, and it's tough. I think it's hard to reconcile grace and truth. It really is. I mean, even when those are the exact adjectives used to describe Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I think we have forgot this in today's society, and if we're going to be essential, we've got to walk out of here knowing the difference. There is a difference, but they all encompass the life of a believer. Grace and truth. Our culture rejects the idea of calling someone into an account for their actions. We we've got to, no matter what, accept them. No matter what, you accept them. Come on, you're a Christian. No matter what, you accept them. Culture has messed up our understanding of grace. And it's stealing its profound meaning and explosive power. Grace is not a free pass. But we as Christians don't even know that. Well, we've got to give a free pass. I'm giving them grace. Free pass. That's not the same thing. Well, I want to do my best in explaining that to you because it's very important. If we know grace is not a free pass, however, it's an avenue of undeserved favor, unmerited favor, then how is it not a free pass? Because a free pass would be more like mercy. Mercy can be a free pass, not getting what you deserved. But grace means something given or favor or blessing to move you past where you're at. Grace is only given to get you out of where you're at. Grace is only given to get you past your frustration. The reason why we got grace is because we needed saved and we needed out of our sin-sick nature into a life that God has said is yours. So grace was given to get you out. It's not a free pass just to keep you where you're at. Oh, I got a free pass. I can stay right here. I'm going to miss the hamper again. Just a free pass. Just a free pass. Just a free pass. A free pass says, I see your sin, friend, and I'm not going to call it what it is. I'm going to, in fact, ignore it, and I'm just going to give you a free pass just to stay right where you are because I love you. That's a free pass. And we ought to know that that's not okay. Really, you're just choosing to take the easy path. That's not grace. Grace is not an easy path. It's not an easy path to follow. It just keeps you from having to bring up the difficult subject with whoever you're wanting to extend grace to. Now, God says, I see your sin. I name your sin specifically because I've revealed that truth to you through the Holy Spirit. And I paid away for that sin by dying on the cross for you. And you don't have to cover it. You don't have to ignore it. You don't have to try to deal with it on your own. Because of Christ, you have an avenue to be free of that. Now walk away. Here's your free. No, this isn't your free pass. This is your grace. I'm giving you grace to get you out of that. Grace is going to get you out of that. It's going to get you out of that. It's going to help you move. It's going to help you change. Grace looks directly at sin and points out specifically because of love. So grace uses truth and love to get you to the place of restoration or of blessing or of salvation or of a time with God you haven't had before. There's some people in God's house every Sunday that need the grace of God. They need to recognize it, that God made a way for you through his grace to get you out of the life you're living and have an abundance of life. Life and life abundant. Grace changes us. Let me say it like this. Grace changes us. It doesn't excuse us. It doesn't excuse us. Grace looks directly at sin and calls the truth out, and then loves you to a new place. That's how God sees it. So let me just say that's how we should see it. The purpose behind it is to strengthen us, to make us see that we are essential, that God is essential, therefore we are essential. God's grace changes us, it doesn't excuse us. Well, what does it mean then to give grace to one another? Because I need it. Anybody here this morning need it? Come on, I need grace. I need grace to get me through. I need grace. Well, I know that oftentimes we just look at it as God's grace. But do you know that as God's people, we can extend grace? I'm not saying you can provide salvation. I'm not saying that you can provide the blessing. But you can be an avenue for God to move those people through it. That's why we witness. That's why we encourage other. And we do all of that with God's grace because God's grace changes us. What does it mean to give grace to another? It primarily means that we see another as a new creation in Christ. We recognize the grace we received at salvation, and it's continuing to work in our own life. It's a change agent, and it's going to do that for someone else. Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, just put right in there grace. The work that was began in you was His grace. He began it because Jesus came into your heart and life. See, I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue that work, His grace. His work was done at the cross until it's finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. His work made you a recipient of His goodness. Therefore, you ought to be able to give that to others. In other words, we're all in process. That's not another way of saying free pass. We're just all in process. It's a call for us as individuals and as the church to engage the process God has given us. Acknowledge sin rather than ignore it. Okay, that's the truth. That's what God did. He acknowledged sin. He didn't ignore it. He pointed out sin. I can go to scripture after scripture where He pointed out sin. He didn't just ignore it. He didn't free pass it. There's sin here. When you're in the presence of someone who's in a deep, horrible sin, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. See, as individuals, there's a call for us to engage in the process that God has given us. Acknowledge sin rather than ignoring it. That's what God did. Call it what it is in gentleness and truth. In gentleness and truth, the homosexual lifestyle that is, I mean, I'm talking about rainbow clubs in our local schools. Don't ignore it. It's sin. Telling a child they can grow up in 100 different types of gender and you choose in third or fourth grade is sinful. Call it what it is. It's not of God, and we can't just put our head in the sand and ignore it. It's sin. But we call it out. That wasn't real gentle. It's sin. And the truth of the matter is God defined it as that. And God Himself acknowledged sin, and He called it out. And then He reminded friends of the path that they can make through confession, repentance, and acceptance. See, that's what God did. He said, here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. And He made it real clear in Romans what you can do. You can make that real clear for people because sin is sin. Now, here's the other thing I love about God. He cheerleads alongside of us. If God be for you, who can be against you? I used to think that verse right there was, man, that's God punching me in the face because He's not for me right now. I've messed up. No, if God be for me, He's got His fists like this. Yeah. Come on, I'm for you. Who can be against you if I'm for you? Yeah. I'm for you. See, can we cheerlead our friends past their circumstances? That's what God does for us. Cheerlead our friends past. And doing it all out of an intimate relationship and deep love for one another. Is that not what God did? He sent His only Son to the cross to die for us. Now that's love like I can't write that out. But that's what God did. He wants a relationship with you and I so much that He implemented something to get it. The process of grace is a call for us as individuals and as a church to constantly engage with what God Himself has given us. Grace is an offering. It's offering a blessing to strengthen people into right actions. Yeah. Now, God gave us grace with an intent of a personal relationship. Ultimately, so they can get things right and live according to God's mandates. We're losing our relationships right now. We are losing our relationships. We're losing our relationships because we don't understand grace. We really are. We're in a position right now that I'm getting so frustrated with Walmart, with people in life, with things that are going on, with what's going on, that I have lost the understanding that God still is administering grace in my life, and He's got to get me to a place where I can administer it to others. I've got to administer grace. I've got to have that. We're losing relationships because the church doesn't understand it. Prayerfully, we've got some maturity going up in the house of God that will get people past having to live with God on grace all the time and live from glory to glory. Now, that's a maturity that we're trying to get people to, but you can't get people to maturity without walking through grace first. It just won't happen. Glory to glory living starts with grace. We'll never help anyone get to a glorious place of living without administering grace. Grace does a whole lot of things. This definition again, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and bestowal of blessing. All right, I got to get on. The fruit of grace is it brings salvation and it brings God's blessing. The fruit of grace brings salvation and it brings blessing. Do y'all get that? The fruit of grace brings salvation and it brings His blessing. Here's the thing. A lot of people will acknowledge God's grace to get salvation, but they never get the purpose of God's grace was not just for salvation. That was the entrance. It was also to provide blessing. Yes. To provide blessing in your life. That's the fruit. Now, Galatians chapter 6. We see that with God, that He can do that, but we miss how we can do it. Here is a perfect example in Scripture of a Spirit-led Christian extending grace. Here's us. This is for us today. Extending grace to others. Dear brothers and sisters, it starts out in Galatians 6, verse 1. If another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, let's just stop there. If another believer who is overcome, overtaken, fallen into, depending on what your translation is, caught up in. A lot of different translations there. But if another believer is caught up in something, where does that other believer usually run? To someone in the same sin? I've watched divorce people for years. Well, divorce isn't a sin. Yes, it is. God hates divorce. It says that clearly in Scripture. Now, it doesn't say that He hates the divorcee, and I understand that there's restoration after sin. But God hates divorce. Just go straight out and say it. So know this, when someone goes through a divorce, they get ousted in the church. I've seen it my whole life. They get ousted. You know why they get ousted? Because they're in sin. They've never read, obviously, Galatians. And where does that divorced person go? They go to a bunch of other divorced people. And they hang out with them and they find their comfort in sin. It's a sad deal, but I've watched it my whole life. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you name the sin, homosexuality. Well, you can't go to church here. You can't do that here. You can't do that. If another believer is overcome, taken, captivated, they're there. They're in some sin and it's heinous. It's horrible. It says you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Not cause them to run into the sinner's hands. Those who are godly should go help them. They should go help them. They should go help them. Verse 2, share each other's burdens and in the same way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, then you're probably a part of most churches. If you think you're too important, in verse 3, you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. I'm not trying to throw the church under the bus, but the problem is we're not helping people in some horrible position. And we need to. We've got to get to a place where we help them. There are two types of people that verse 1 through 3 talk about. There are those who stumble or are overtaken or they're overcome by sin. And the second is those who are burdened. both in need of help. So let's talk about the first one. Those who stumble, those who have fallen into something, they're not in a good position. And just to wake all of you up, because I know this is very deep and sometimes can be boring. Okay, I got it, Pastor. I want to tell you a story about a sheriff, deputy. He was on the road when he came across a one-car accident. A man driving a pickup truck with a horse trailer, he had blown a Firestone tire and wrecked it into a ditch on a lonely road. He was thrown from his truck, his horse was thrown from the trailer, and his dog was thrown out of the back of the truck. The deputy first came across the horse, and it was badly injured, and there was no chance it could recover. And being a humane man, hating to see an animal suffer, he drew out a service pistol, and he put it out of its misery. Then he saw the dog. It was badly hurt and whimpering. There was no chance it would live either, so he put it down with a single shot. Finally, he located the driver of the truck. He was lying over in the ditch, and he had several broken bones, and he was unable to get up. The deputy ran over to him and said, "Are you okay?" The man said, "I've never felt better." It's been so true that the church is the only army in history that shoots its own. We shoot our own wounded. We do it time and time again. Galatians 6:1, be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. That's a very important line, because as people in the church, don't you think for a second you can't fall into the trap of sin. Just don't think for a second that it can't grab you. I mean, you could get caught up in it, and you're just all of a sudden, wait, I don't want to be caught up in it, because Galatians was very clear. This is a man of God telling us some things we needed to know. But it's talking about here someone who is guilty, and others know about it. And know this, your sin will find you out. You've heard that. What that means is somebody's eventually going to come across a knowledge of it, and it gets exposed. Grace is given by God to do what? To get you past the sin. If God's people would understand that we can administer the same grace that God has administered to us, to others, we might help others get past this and get to a place where blessing could be bestowed upon their life. The goal of extending grace to the person who has stumbled isn't to tolerate. It's not what society says we're to do. It's given as an act of restoration. Yes, sir. Yeah. That's what it's given as. So two types of people. Galatians real clear about it. One is a believer falls or stumbles into sin, and the other one is to share each other's burdens. So the second one, those who are overburdened. Some people here today, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're burdened. You're burdened. Some are single moms. Some are struggling financially. Some are widows. Someone is a young person faced with pressure. They're about to cave. Someone else is having job trouble. Paul says, bear one another's burdens. What's that mean? The word here isn't talking about the kind of load we all have. It's a load that you can't handle. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing this. God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, does that mean that as a Christian, you're never going to have more of a burden than you can handle? No. There are times that you're going to have more than you can handle. That's why there's a reliance that has to be upon the Savior. That's where His grace comes in abundance. Here's the thing. God ministers that oftentimes through other people giving grace. Bear one another's burdens because they have more than they can handle. So why do people say, well, God will give you more? Yes, He will. That's why we go out to lunch together. That's why we go do this. That's why we give each other a call. That's why we send each other a text. That's why we say, hey, can I do that for you? I was walking in today, and I didn't see anybody overburdened, but I seen a young lady that was walking in with a dish for a life group after church, and I watched Peyton Benninger walk right up and say, can I take that for you? Now, he was bearing someone's burden of carrying something in. Well, was it a burden? Nope, but if she'd had to walk another 20 to 30 foot, she might have been. He got her before it was. Am I right, Jeannie? The word isn't the kind of load that we all have. It's all a load that we specifically have that nobody else gets. Yeah. That's why we come in and do. The Paul that we read of in Scripture is saying, help someone that it's too much. Let me give an illustration. You're going to go on a 1 week pack trip into the mountains of Colorado with a church camp group. Everything you need for a whole week, you're going to carry in on your backs. And each is going to help carry food and supplies for the benefit of everybody there. The morning of the 20-mile hike in, everyone loads up their backpacks with the provisions for the trip. You drive to the trailhead, and everyone puts on their pack. 10 miles into the trek, you're still doing okay. Looking around you, there are some who are really struggling. They can't seem to hack it. What's their problem? What's their problem? What's their problem? But that's okay. The more the other guy struggles, the better it makes you look. What you don't realize is that your pack is full of potato chips, while the other people are carrying cast iron skillets. See, some of us pride ourselves in the way we carry our pack. We don't realize what the other guy is carrying. As long as we look good, we're content to let him struggle along. And we begin to think, maybe even say, aren't I something? Boy, look at me. Look at me in my pack. I'm carrying this thing. When we need to head over and take some weight. That's what grace does. God will give you grace to get through when you can't handle that weight anymore. And everybody knows that. That's why we run to God. But why aren't we being the people that will be God's messengers and running to people who they're hurting right now? Come on, who at work is hurting? You're just tired of the way they talk. I get that, and they shouldn't talk that way. So call that out in truth, and then go over here and help them carry some luggage that's causing them to talk the way that they're talking. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody today, but grace is giving favor to someone who's carrying a heavy load, and they didn't do anything to have to deal with the load that they're carrying. I didn't ask for this life. I didn't ask for where I'm at. I didn't ask for that. And I don't expect anybody to bail me out. But, man, I love it when God brings someone else in and a little weight comes off my shoulders. It's just like, wow. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly, go and in truth and love help them out of it. But know this. Be careful not to fall into the same temptation. And then the second person is, if they've got a burden, if there's a burden there, share it. Obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important, you're fooling yourself. Pay careful attention, if we go on to verse 4, to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we're each responsible for our own conduct. We are going to, just to end this up, we're going to have to see ourselves as essential. If you're going to see yourself as essential, then start giving some grace. Yep. What does grace do? It provides salvation for those that are dying, and it provides blessing. That's the fruit of it. I'm not saying they deserved it, but what it's going to do, it's going to help them out of where they're at. It's going to help them out of where they're at. I pray that this week you'll look for an avenue for you to share God's amazing grace. It's necessary for salvation. It's necessary for restored relationships, for God's blessings to be bestowed. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.